Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining today's podcast from Zoe Church Los Angeles. We are a community in LA that is all about the message and the person of Jesus, His kingdom come and His will be done. Today, we are concluding a series that we've been in called The Talk of the Town out of Mark 5. Verse number 20. Before we jump into today's message, I want to thank every person that gives faithfully to Zoe Church. If you'd like to begin your journey of worship and partnering with us, text Zoe to 77977 and we'll shoot you a link, or go to our website and you can give credit, crypto, or stock right there. But let's jump into this week's message called I'm Ready for Relief. We're concluding today a series that we've been in called Talk of the what? Talk of the Town out of Mark chapter 5, verse number 20. And we've been really focusing as a church on the subjects of freedom and forgiveness. Freedom and forgiveness. And we really, as a community, we want to walk in the freedom that's been promised to us. God said, I will set you free from your chains, set you free from your past, set you free from any addiction, so you can be free to worship me. And so we receive freedom and forgiveness. Anybody grateful today that God has forgiven you of your sin? Yeah, come on, clap today if you're thankful to be forgiven. I had so much McFlurry last Sunday, I thank God for forgiveness, okay? So forgiveness is real because it's in Jesus. Freedom and forgiveness. And I'm believing that as we leave this series today, we will walk, this is a big deal to us around here at Zoe, in our God-given potential. You potentially could be amazing, or you could potentially not. The only way to walk in your God-given potential is to first receive forgiveness and freedom from Jesus so you can start walking in truth. Amen to that. So I want to preach today. We're going to be in some R's. We're going to stay in the letter. That's how preachers' minds work. We're going to be in the R's today. Write down the title of today's message, last installment of the series, Ready for Relief. Because a lot of us, it's like, man, I'm tired of being chained to this thing. I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of drinking. Sound like a country music artist right now. Tired of my truck and my dog, eh? Damon. But we're tired of being tired. I remember one time my little sister got in trouble when we were little. She was like in middle school, and my parents are getting after her. She's in trouble, and she goes running up the stairs, and she yells down to my parents, I'm sick of this suffering. And my parents never laughed so hard in their life. I just hear my mom and dad being like, that is the funniest. We provide a roof over your head and buy all your clothes and food. Go to your room. But some of us today are sick of the suffering. Sick of being chained to this thing and broken and burdened and beaten down. And we want the relief that you're looking for comes from Jesus Christ. And we know this, that the enemy of your life comes to bind and break and blind you. But the lover of your soul, Jesus, has come to set the captives free. He's come to release us so we can walk in our God-given, what's the last word? Potential. That's what he's come to do in our life. But the wicked one, the serpent, the snake, the serpent, I call him Satan. Satan has come to mess with you. It's kind of crazy. We're not celebrating. We are acknowledging that it's been 4 years since the world shut down. We are now on year four since the pandemic. Since COVID-19 hit the earth, it's been 4 years. And I don't know what you did during COVID, but your boy had peanut butter jelly sandwiches, ordered a Peloton, and we started to do hikes and walks as a family. I don't remember taking a walk before the pandemic, but I took a lot of walks during the pandemic. Where are the walkers at today? Any walkers? And we started going on hikes and walks. So on Sundays, because we would record the message like on Wednesday, on Sundays I was so bored, I would get my family together in our minivan, and we would drive up to Moore Park, and I found this trail next to a golf course. There is this massive hiking trail that I could take my kids on and our double stroller. Because our kids, when the pandemic hit, were 8, 6, 4, and 2. So I had that double wide stroller for my oldest baby girl and my 2-year-old, that double wide. You know you're a real parent when you got the double wide stroller. Like, we went from the minivan to the double wide stroller. And so we would go on these hikes, and you know, it's beautiful outside. So we're out on these hikes, and when you go on a hike with a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, that means you do half a mile. So we, you know, short hikes, but nevertheless, we're out there hiking, and your boy, I took my shirt off, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me, dog? And so I'm out there with my shirt off. Julia's just staring, you know, just blessed. Anyway, so we're out there. Well, one time we're on the hike, and we're coming back to the minivan, and all of a sudden on the trail, I see a rattlesnake. And it was, you know, just the rattle. It's not very good rattle, is it? I apologize. And snakes. That was better. And so, you know, I'm a man of God, so I got to protect my family. I'm a man of God, so I got to protect my family. So I ran back to Julia. I was like, Julia, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Let's be honest. So I was scared, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I got little ones, and I got 2 kids in the double wide. And all of a sudden, as this snake is staring us down, ready to take our life, all of a sudden, this guy comes running from out of nowhere. This runner on the path comes, and he sees what's going on, and he's like, guys, have no fear. I'll take care of the problem. I was like, an angel of the Lord has appeared out of nowhere. Like, this guy, he also has his shirt off. Don't look at him, Julia. And he's just like, I'm here to save the day. And I was like, thank God this guy showed up, because if not, we would have been in trouble. I want to encourage you today in your spiritual life, your Savior has come. Because there is a wicked one. There is a serpent. There is an enemy of your soul. But greater is he that's in you than the serpent that's in the world. And I love the Bible says, and God, my God, will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. You're going to find relief. The relief you've been looking for, the peace you've been looking for, is found not in church, it's found in Jesus. It's found in the love of Jesus Christ. What your soul has been longing for and craving can only be found in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And when you find Jesus, you don't have to fear the serpent, because God has overcome the world. He has overcome. That's why I'm telling you, Easter Sunday, I might just wear the same outfit. We're going to party and celebrate our resurrected Savior. Come on, clap together if you're grateful for the love of Jesus. Come on, West Side, clap with us. I want to just look today at some truths as we conclude this series together in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, it's a story about two brothers, and one of them has felt like the grass is greener on the other side. And so he goes to his father, who we know is wealthy, and says to his dad, Dad, I want now my inheritance that's due to my name. I want to always encourage you, please do not ask for now what God intends for you to have later. We're not in a hurry with God. God is an on-time God. Amen to that? And so watch here how the story unfolds. He asks for half of his inheritance, and he goes out. It says this, Luke 15, 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Other translations there say loose living. He's just wilding out like Nick Cannon. It was kind of good, wasn't it? It was kind of just like this. I just snuck it in there. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This young man goes to his dad, and he says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I want it right now. And so he goes out, and he spends it on loose living. He's in the club. He's spending all of his money. He's making it rain. He's I appreciate the laugh right there. Someone chuckled a little too loud for me. Don't tell on yourself. I didn't. And so and he spends all of his money, and he ends up in a pig pen. What a far cry. What a drastic cry. Remember, life moves fast. One day you could have it all, and one day you could lose it all. And so here he is, one day he's got it all, and he loses it all. He squanders all of his wealth, and he finds himself in a pig pen in the depths of despair. He wakes up one day and he thinks to himself, how did I get here? How did life get this bad? What did I do in my life to end up in this terrible mess? When I think about the scenario here, it makes me think about the devastating consequences of sin. It costs more than you want to pay, and it makes you stay longer than you ever want to stay. But he wakes up one day in the pig pen, and he says, this is not it. Let me give you four things to write down today. Write down number one. Here's the first thing you must do to get free. You got to recognize, or you got to realize would be another R. I don't care which one you use, but you got to wake up and smell the coffee. This is not God's best. This is not God's plan. Some of you are waking up in realities today going like, oh, I feel dirty and no shower can make me clean. I feel like I'm in the wrong spot and this is the wrong time and these are the wrong people. This is not God's plan. And we've got to wake up and the smelling salts got to hit our nostrils and we got to recognize God has something bigger for my life. God's got something better for my future. I wasn't called to live in the pig pen of sin. In fact, watch what it does. Watch what he does here. Luke chapter 15, 17. When he came to his senses. See, that's what you need to come to today. You need to come to your senses. You ever talk to somebody and you can realize that they're not with you? That you're talking to them and it's going in one ear and it's going out the other? You ever talk to somebody that's in the clutches of sin? They're chained to something, bound to something, going down a destructive path, a hurtful path. They're setting their own house on fire, and you're trying to reason with them. They will not be reasonable until they come to their senses. And I'm just here to encourage you today. When you get in the presence of God, God will sober you up. God will get your thinking clear. God will get your mind right. Come on, clap today if you're thankful. I'm getting my life right when I get my mind right. Some of us need to recognize, are you in the will of God or are you against the plan of God? And let's just be honest. Let's realize, let's take some inventory. Where am I today? The first question that God asked man in the history of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, remember God made Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed until they went against God's plan and they ate from the forbidden tree of fruit. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says they start covering themselves up because condemnation has entered now and guilt has entered now and shame is there. And now they are hiding from God. And God asked them, where are you? And I want to ask you today, do you know where you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know God's best for your life? Do you know what God has intended and planned for you? Because this young man woke up in the pig pen and said, this is not it. I know it's better at my dad's house. I know that my father's house is better than this. I can't even get, and the meal I am getting, It's the pig's leftovers. Sin will take you so far down a road, you wake up one day thinking, how am I living like this? I feel dirty. I feel gross. Why? I used to have it so good. How did I get so quickly into being so bad? That's the thief that comes to as a serpent, steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm telling you, God's love is so good, it will draw you home, it will call your name, and it will wake you up so you can find your senses. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to recognize and you got to realize. You know how they say real recognize real? Sin recognize sin. This is not right. This is not what God has for me. I'm going against God's plan. And this thing has cost me so much. And I realize I might not be the best person. I might not have all the answers, but I realize it's better at my dad's house. See, the thing you got to understand about the lie of the serpent is that he will always convince you that it's better outside of church than it is inside of church. You know, if you stop going to church, you're going to have all this time on your hands. You know, if you stop tithing, you're going to have all this money. You know, if you stop doing all the going to connect groups and doing all, you get all this. No, no, no. Do it God's way. God knows what's best. God has a plan. God has set up for our lives. Come on, these aren't the Ten Commandments. They're the tender commandments. I know what's best for your life. And so he recognizes, he comes to a realization, he wakes up and he goes, this is not it. And so he concludes to himself, the second R, write down number two, he repents. He says, I need to repent and get right with God. I need to repent and get right with my father. And so watch what he says here. He comes back to the father, and he comes back to the father's house. Look in verse 21. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy. See, a lot of us believe the same. If I do what's good, I'm worthy of God's best. If I do bad things, I'm not worthy of his blessing. I want to just let you know, God loves you and blesses you not because you're worthy. It's not by worth, it's by birth. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and God loves you no matter what you do. He will love you. And in shame, he comes running down that gravel road, and he sees his father, and he repents. Now, I want to teach you today the difference between confession and repentance, because just because you confess something doesn't mean you repent of it. We see, like, in the Catholic Church, one of my favorite things about the Catholic Church is confession, confessing to another person what you've done wrong. And I think it's a good practice for all of us. All of us should get better at confessing things. We should just make it good practice, confession. I got a confession to make today. I watched half of the Clipper game. I want to confess it. I want to confess I thought the Cowboys were going to be good this year too. I want to confess it. Get good at confessing. Watch what happens when we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the Bible is clear. We should confess our struggle, confess our issues, confess our pain, confess our sin. Who was the last person you confessed to? Who do you have in your life that you can be honest with? Who can you confess? I'm struggling. I'm not doing well. I'm not in my right mind. I am struggling. I am in pain. I am in sorrow. You need some people. Why? It says, confess our sins to one another that we may pray for one another. When was the last time your friend put your hand on your shoulder and said, come on, we're going to cast off. We bind the wicked one. We declare that that serpent is a liar, that he's not welcome in your house. Come on, everybody clap together right there. We got to pray for each other. You know what I don't appreciate? I don't appreciate this era of church where everybody's like, I don't want to be spiritual. I don't want to be spiritual. Hey, I don't want to be spiritual, but I was just thinking, no, we are spiritual. Instead of being apologetic about your faith, be bold about your faith. I've never seen the world been like, hey, I'm so sorry, we're going to drink a lot tonight. I'm so sorry, we're going to, no. If people are going to be bold about sin, why don't we be bold about our faith? Come on, clap if you're excited. I'll be happy to pray for you. I'm blessed to pray for you. And I'm no priest, but you can confess your sin. And may we be a church that when people confess their sin, that we don't be looking at them like they're crazy. Like you don't got sin in your life. Get your self-righteous self out of here. If we confess our sins, what is he? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins one to another that we may pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You need people in you. That's why these rows need to become circles. You need to get into a connect group, get connected into community so you can have some brothers and some sisters in the Lord that will pray for you. Find you some Jesus friends. Find you some friends that are going the same way as you are. Find you some friends that are quick to lay hands on you and quick to believe in you. You understand what I'm saying? So confession is not repentance, though. So let me just stay on confession for a moment, because I think the problem for today's Christian is we would be mortified if people knew the real you. So you image manage a version of you that you want everybody to know, but it's a lie. That's not who you are. You need to confess. Your authority is in your authenticity. I was asking Dr. Henry Cloud a couple years ago, I was asking him, you know, he's sold 30 million books and he's written, he's a psychologist, an incredible guy. I said, why are people so broken? Why are people so messed up? And he said, most people are so broken because they've never cried in front of their small group. They'd be mortified. They cannot be vulnerable about their struggles. And I want to encourage you, let's develop. We don't need friends that just talk about sports and the weather. We need some friends we could talk about real life issues and become disciple of the way and the way maker, Jesus Christ. And so confession, though, is not repentance. Repentance is changing my mind, changing the way I think about something. I'm not going to think about me that way. I'm not going to think about you that way. And I'm not going to think about God that way. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking. How does God change your life? He changes your mind. And so it's not repentance is not turning away from something alone. It is changing your mind about something. I refuse to think about this circumstance with negativity. I will think about it with faith. I will not see them in a negative light. I will see them as a child of the Most High God. I will not see me as inferior or deal plagued by insecurity. I will see myself as the righteousness of God, chosen and loved by grace alone. Come on, Westside, clap with us today if you understand what I'm trying to say to you. That's changing your mind. That's repenting. Not just confessing. We struggle with confession, and that's why rarely do we ever get to repentance. How could you get to the second step when you haven't taken care of the first step? I got to confess it, and I got to change my thinking. I will not think this way about this area of my life. I will not think about them that way. Amen? And so he recognizes and he realizes, he comes to his senses. Don't you right now have a friend or two that you wish they would come to their senses? Just let me see your hand. If you can think of two or three people right now, I wish they would come to their senses, which would equal a breakup in the relationship. Amen. So come to their senses. Don't point at them. In the back, somebody was like, Spirit, move. So you got to realize, some of us have been lying to ourselves for so long. Like, it's fine. It's good. It's cool. I'm okay here. No. You're in the pig pen. You're in a dangerous place. Okay? So I've got to recognize where I'm at, and I got to repent. He comes to his dad, and he goes, Dad, I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against the Father, and I want to say I'm sorry, and I know I'm not worthy to be called your son. I know I'm not worthy of it. But what does the father do? He throws his arms around his child. Watch what he does. Hold on. This, you get ready. This is the father when you come back to his grace. He throws his arms around him. He says, go kill the fatted calf. He says, put on the signet ring. Go get the big robe. And I need somebody to look up if we can get Calvin Harris, Tiesto, or Kygo here tonight. Because we are going to till the sun comes up. Because my son was dead, but now he's alive. My son was dead, but he's come home. By the way, this is a prayer we pray every single weekend, that every Sunday we gather, there's a prodigal that comes home. There's somebody that says, I've been living in sin for 15 years. I haven't been to church in 20 years. I haven't been to the house of God in 5 years. But something told me today's the day for me to come home. May we always be a community with our arms wide open, say, we've been praying and we've been waiting for you to come. Let's party like it's 1990. Come on, clap and thank God today. This is our posture. And so the dad's freaking out. He's like, oh! We've been praying for this. There's my boy. You spent all the money? You crazy. Give me a hug. You spent it on what? I've never even heard of that club. You're crazy. Get in here, you little rascal. He's so happy. He's losing his mind. He's like, oh, get the DJ. Get the David Yurman ring. Get the robe that Biggie used to wear. Get everybody. Call the cousins and the aunties and the tias and tios and abuelos and get everybody. We're going to get the enchilada tamale for a jole. I don't know. And we're just going to party. My son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but the grace of God opened his eyes. Give him a praise if you're grateful that God welcomed you home with open arms. He didn't look at you and go, where you been? What you been up to? How come you left? Oh, you thought it was going to work out. Oh, it's not greener on the other side, is it? No, he looks at you with those eyes of love, and he says, I've been praying for you. I've been waiting for you. I'm in love with you. Come on, welcome back into the embrace of a father that loves you. Clap if you're grateful today for the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. He says, come on, we're going to party. We're going to go crazy. And all of a sudden, they bring out the fatted calf and the ring and the robe, and they're partying, and the dad's in there with the son. They're on the dance floor. YMCA. You know, you got to. I'm sorry. I'm preaching in tennis shoes today. I feel so great. It's Marathon Sunday. I put some New Balances on. I'm usually getting boots, so I don't move that much. This is awesome. And he's partying with his son, and one of the servants comes to the dad. He's like, hey, can we talk for a second? And he's like, yeah, for sure. And so he's like, hey, outside. And so he pulls him outside, and the dad's like, he's like sweating. He's like, oh, man, what a party, huh? And he's like, yeah. He's like, what is it? He's like, oh, it's your other son now. You ever notice in life when it's like, as soon as everything gets good, something else goes bad? Now who is it? He's like, yeah, now it's your other son. He's like, my other son? He's like, he's the best. He never asked for anything. What do you mean? He's like, you talking about, oh, Mr. Consistent is now the problem? He's like, yeah. He's really upset. In fact, he's hurt. How hurt is he? Butt hurt. I'm sorry, y'all are so fun. I endured the 9:45. 11:30, you're the best. I love this service. This is so much more fun than the last one. And he says, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, he won't come into the party. He's mad. He's embittered. See, there's one thing we got to understand, the power of freedom and getting free from stuff. But this thing is just as powerful, and it's called forgiveness. He's hurt. He's upset. He feels like you're throwing the party for the son that messed everything up, and that should have been his party. And so he's all wound up. He is so offended. He is so upset. He's irate. He will not come in. And so the dad says, well, where is he? Will he talk to me? And the guy says, yeah, let me find him. And so they bring him to the father. Watch what he says. Look at verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my buddies. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. Can you hear the entitlement? You never. Be careful using dogmatic extreme statements with God. You never bless me like you bless them. You never take care of me like those guys. You never allow me to. You never. You know how I know he's filled with entitlement? Because never disobeying. I'm sorry, are you Jesus, bro? You're not. You have disobeyed. You have made some mistakes. But when you get bitterness in your life, you start thinking that you're better than others. You do good when you don't do good. It will make you delusional. And just like he had to come to his senses, now this brother has to come to his senses. Write down number 3. You need to renounce. You need to break up with that lie. That's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have not been that perfect. You are not that guy. You are not that great. Your father's been great, but you have been here serving. But just because you're serving doesn't mean you're owed anything by the father. And you need to renounce that spirit of entitlement. You need to break up with it. By the way, every bondage that you are in right now started with a lie. If you trace it back, the genesis of your bondage is a lie. You believed a lie about sexuality. I could sleep with whoever I want and pay no consequences. You believed a lie about your identity. I could do whatever I want with my life. It's my life and my body. That's a lie. I can do whatever I want with my money. That's God's money, not your money. That's a lie. All of your bondage is traced back to a lie. And I want to encourage you to take that serpent and kick him out of your life and receive the love of Jesus Christ, because his truth will set you free. We renounce it. We reject it. In fact, watch here. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. Worship team, come join me. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Whoever confesses and renounces them. The word renounce, the biblical definition for renounce, means to cast off or reject as a connection or a possession, to forsake. Forsake as to renounce the world and all its cares. I renounce this thing. That lie from the pit of hell. Some of you have believed a lie that you're not good enough. You need to renounce it. I'm not from the right family. Renounce that lie in the name of Jesus. Renounce that lie. I'm not enough. You're more than enough. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. Break up with it. Cast off it. That thing has plagued you since you were in middle school. And no longer in the name of Jesus. Renounce the lie of the enemy. Our son on Friday night, right now there's a lot of sports for us in our world. We drive that minivan around all around town, basketball games and baseball games, and we're getting ready to go to bed on Friday nights. We didn't make them take showers, but we made them change their underwear because, you know, that's important. Somebody give me a good amen right there. And so we're going to bed, and we're all in one of their rooms, and mom says, "We just want to make sure everybody changed their underwear." And they're like, "Yeah." And you know how when somebody's not good at lying? So the youngest, he just told on himself that fast. "Yeah." So Julia's so sweet. She said, "You did? Mm-hmm. You changed your underwear." "Yes." "So I want to ask you one more time. And I want to make sure we're very clear on the same page. Son, you changed your underwear." "Son, right now we're looking at you and you're in the same underwear you were in this morning." He's crying. He's emotional. He's upset. He's excuses. Long time before he would admit he's wrong. What is it about lies that we keep on walking down that path of a lie? Some of you have been living a lie for so long, you believe that's who you really are. It's not. "Well, this is just who I am." That's a lie from the pit of hell. What? That is a lie from the serpent himself. Renounce it in Jesus' name. I am righteous. I am holy. I am loved and chosen by God. I know who I am because I know who he is. And I'm not worthy because of my do-goodism. I'm worthy because of the cross and the blood of Jesus. And so therefore, I am holy. Here's the last one. Write down number 4. You need to receive. You need to receive, because a lot of us, we're standing outside of the party and God's trying to bring you into the great dance floor of his grace, but we're saying, "No, I don't deserve it. I've gone too far. I've looked at too much. I've participated in these things. I'm not worthy of his love." No. You don't get this kind of dance and celebration because you're so amazing. You get the celebration because his love is so amazing that he throws the biggest party because you got free. See, when you get free, it's not just that you're excited. God's excited because he's got a plan for you, you know? He's got a plan for you, and he knows where he wants to lead you. He knows what he wants to do in you and through you. He can see the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's got an author, and he's got a finisher, and he knows where to take your life. And if you'll allow him to set you free, he'll lead you into green pastures and lead you into still waters and lead you down paths of righteousness. But you got to realize this ain't it. You got to realize this is not the plan and the will of God for my life. So I repent and I'm getting right and I'm changing my mind and I'm not going to think that way. And I'm going to renounce any evil spirit that has tried to take out my calling and my family and my future. You're not welcome here. And I'm going to stand here and receive. If I can be honest with you, probably the last and the hardest thing to do is receive. Because most of us are going like, I'm not good enough. I'm not from the right family. I haven't done enough good things. No, no, no. Today, it is about simply receiving His freedom. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and His only Son, that if anybody would believe in Him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Come on, can you clap together and thank God for the gift of the gospel? Come on, let's stand to your feet today. Stand to your feet.